Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Thomas Watson here at the historic Clay County Courthouse, coming to you live and in living color on WVFB-FM 101.5, Kicks Country, from right here on the square in Salina, Tennessee. It's great to have everyone here with us this morning. We've got some live guests and a lot of information for the folks here, for you folks here in the county. But first this morning, we have our taped interview with Ray Norris and Diane Black, and we're going to do that first, but then we'll get back to our regular program here after we play the recording. We've got some birthdays this morning. We've got some news about the county fair. Got some other information, I guess. I have Dorothy Burchett Forney here this morning, who is a county commissioner and also on the fair board, and she's going to be talking about the highly successful Clay County Fair that just closed this past weekend, and we'll be doing all of that just in a few minutes. But first, I think we need to take a little short commercial break, so we won't be back here for a few minutes, but listen to the great interview with Ray and Diane.
The Upper Cumberland General Store is what a country store used to be like and what a country store should be. Local handcrafted items, antiques, Disney items, American moonshine items, household goods, live survival foods, snacks, discount groceries, and a whole lot more. Shop Upper Cumberland General Store and save. Up to 90% off regular retail prices. You need to see it to believe it. Visit Upper Cumberland General Store, open 9 till 5, Tuesday through Saturday, at 101 Doctors Drive in Salina, Tennessee. Or you can call them at 931-243-3350. That's 931-243-3350 for Upper Cumberland General Store. Here to serve you right behind the DQ.
Diane Black, how are you this morning?
I am great, Ray. I hope you are, too.
Oh, yeah. It's Friday.
Amen. Well, you got a big weekend planned?
Yeah, it's going to be a honeydew weekend for me.
Oh, I see.
Depending on the weather. I've got some stuff that I need to get done outside, et cetera. But actually, I look forward to that.
Good. Me, too. I love being outside.
Absolutely. So, let's see, current events regarding your life, things in the news, the VA scandal, what's happening on that?
Oh, my goodness gracious. We have got a really huge problem with our VA system, and it's not like this just snuck up on us and we didn't know about it. This is something that we knew about even during the Bush administration.
Absolutely.
They passed it on to the Obama administration when they came in, and it has not, nothing's been done. It's only been getting worse in the last 6 years. And so now we see the results of that. We have here in Nashville one of the worst, or I think we are the number one worst for wait time for our veterans to even get in and see a doctor. The average for those across the country are, almost like around 28 days. We are 65 days. And then our Murfreesboro VA has been designated as one of the 7 worst facilities for mortality rates across the entire country. Now, this is really striking home for me. I have been in both of those hospitals. I have met with their administrators. I have not had anyone in those hospitals in the administrative position tell me, oh, Diane, we need to do something about this. Can you help us? I'm not hearing that from them, but what I am hearing is from my veterans. For instance, we have one that we had a call in their office that was told by the VA that they needed an emergency cardiac procedure, but they couldn't get them scheduled for 6 months. So how do you have an emergency procedure that you can't schedule for 6 months?
Well, that's what's created a number of deaths.
Absolutely. And so we were able to go to work and get him immediate service and get him taken care of. But he shouldn't have to take calling a congressional office to get the service. that you so deserve from serving our country. And it's just unconscionable to me that this is happening. You know, I'm a nurse, and I've been in nursing now for over 40 years. And one thing we know is that we take care of patients. And if I were to turn a patient away and they would have an untoward outcome, I would be sued. That's criminal activity.
Right.
And there should be people that have their heads rolling, and the FBI now is involved in this. And I hope that we're going to see some people held accountable for doing what they've been doing for a long period of time, hiding on a secret list so that they look like they're serving veterans in a timely manner. Unconscionable. Just how would they feel if that were their family? How would they feel if that were their husband, their mom, their dad, their son? I just don't understand it. So we are doing some things. Of course, the FBI has now been brought in. But more than that has to be done. We need to look to see if there is a way that we can make this administration, make the VA hospitals really quality, giving timely care, whether that's giving them a card that they can go to a facility in their community, either a public or a private facility. Look, the VA does a really good job on some things. Post-traumatic stress syndrome, they need a facility that's specific for our military for that situation. I believe that. I think they do a really good job when men and women come back and they need rehabilitation services such as a loss of a limb. I've been to Walter Reed. I've seen the remarkable work they're doing over there, the research, the really great technology that they're using for these men and women. I think there's a place for that. But for a routine every day, you know, I have a heart condition or a diabetes or maybe COPD, I'm not sure that we shouldn't be using facilities that are the closest to the veteran in the private sector.
Yep.
So one thing that we have done is we've passed two measures out of the House of Representatives. They're sitting on the desk over there with Harry Reid. No surprise they'd be sitting on the desk. One is that we have given the ability for those who are in the administrative position, and particularly a secretary, as Shinseki was, we've given them an opportunity to be able to fire people immediately. You know, so many times we're told, well, I wasn't able to do it because I had to go through this procedure or that procedure. We've given them the authority that when they find that there's something that rises to the level of being let go, they let them go.
But that's being by Harry Reid, is that right?
Yeah, it's sitting on the desk. The other one is really more important personally immediately to our veterans, and that is if you have waited more than 30 days, we have a provision that you would have a card that would allow you to go to any of the local hospitals in your community and get your care immediately. So it does provide for getting some services done pretty quickly.
Very good. Very good. I just hope we can get it past Harry Reid, but that looks unlikely. It looks like our current president is going to rule with his phone and his pen.
Oh, it is so disappointing. I mean, we've got so many major issues that are major for our country, for our future of our country, going on in Washington right now that, honestly, I don't want to be discouraged. I get up every morning and put on my clothes and say I'm going to go in there and I'm going to fight as hard as I can for the people of my district and ultimately for the country. But I'm just seeing so many things that are being mishandled by, and personally, I just feel it's an inept administration. We've got Iraq now coming back where we've shed blood in Iraq and we didn't keep troops over there as has been recommended. The president pulled them out, wanted to say that the war on terrorism is over. We all knew that. You can't stick your head in the sand. The war on terrorism is flaming right now and they're taking over major cities, Fallujah and Baghdad, that we fought so hard and put our blood from our American soldiers on the ground there. It's just making me sick. And, you know, you look at what happened after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
We kept troops in Europe for a long time. We still have troops in some parts of Europe.
Right.
When there is the presence of an American soldier on the soil, there is a message that goes out. And that message is pretty strong. And we have been pretty strong seen across this entire world in our strength in our military. So, who knows? No one will ever know for sure that if we'd have kept the presence there, as have been recommended by our top military leaders, that we wouldn't be going through what we're going through right now. And the president's talking about what is he going to do? Is he going to put boots on the ground? Are we going to have soldiers back in there? What are we going to do? We could have prevented a great deal of this had we had a presence.
Well, you're right. We have a very strong military, but we don't have a very strong administration.
No, we don't have a strong military leader at the top, and he has never been in the military, has no experience, he didn't even grow up in a military family,
yeah.
And he really doesn't have any idea, and yet It's all about politics. It's about looking good in the American eye, and we knew that he wanted to make that for re-election. His point is that he was able to get bin Laden, which is only one character in all this, and somebody rose up right behind him. We knew they would. But getting bin Laden didn't end terrorism, and we can see that very clearly,
right,
whether it's Iraq or whether it's in Afghanistan or whether it's over in Iran. You know, terrorism is still flaming. And that brings another question in, is, you know, you just let go of five of the most dangerous terrorists that we had in Guantanamo Bay to get one guy back that walked away from his post and deserted his own platoon. So I just keep shaking my head and saying, what next? What stupid thing can happen and be done by this administration next? And this is not about partisan politics. I would say this about anybody that was leading, no matter what their political color is, that this is inept. This is absolutely inept. And now he's talking about letting go more in Guantanamo Bay, because that was one of his promises. Guantanamo Bay, he couldn't do it without just using his pen and his phone, going around Congress. And at some point in time, he is going to rise to the level where he is really going to just cross the line. And I'm not sure that he's not there yet. We'll see what the armed forces has to say about looking into Bergdahl and him not coming to Congress to give us an idea that this was happening and get approval.
Yes, he knew the law. He signed that law, and now he's violated the law.
Uh-huh.
Different recent event. We've got busloads of kids being dropped off at the border from Mexico. This is
And this has been going on in this administration in a big time. If you would see the curve on this as to how it has grown since he has taken office, is because he doesn't have a clear message to people that you can't come into this country. You know, this was happening under the Bush administration.
Yeah.
And what they were doing is putting these children on a C-130 and taking them back to their country of origin. And the message got out, and if you look at the graph on when this all started back during the Bush administration and when they took action to take these children back again to their families in their country of origin, you saw that that number went down. Then when the Bush administration came in and had this open-door policy, you saw it grow. We are now looking at somewhere around 62,000 children who come to this country as minors. And the sad part is the human factor on this. They're coming from not just Mexico, but Guatemala, Ecuador, all of those Central American countries. And along the way, many of these children get recruited to go into gangs, drug smugglers. Some of these little girls are sold into sex slavery. And it is unbelievable that we're not stopping this at our door and saying no, no mas. And we're going to send them back to their country of origin, to their families there, and tell them you need to keep your children safe and you don't need to be sending them on a train somewhere without any supervision and coming into our country by droves. The president's going to ask us for additional appropriations for the numbers of children that are coming here, and this is going to be a big discussion and argument about funding those children that come here, because they have to have somewhere to go when they first come here until they can identify somebody that will take them. So there's money, there's cost to putting them into beds and feeding them and their medical care. And this is very costly to our nation, and it is the taxpayer, the everyday working taxpayer, that will pay the bill for this. This must stop.
Well, we already have, what, 12 million illegals?
Estimated somewhere between 11 and 12 million.
Okay.
Now we're talking about children that come into this country that are minors, that come hundreds of miles on a train without any supervision, and their lives can be so negatively impacted along the way. It is, this is a human factor. It's a financial factor. It is just a factor in general about the direction that our country is going.
I wouldn't be surprised after some time that the president would try to enact some kind of a procedure with his pen that would allow these children's parents to come over.
You know, I don't discount anything with this administration. And, Ray, I'm going to say this. We can do all we want over in the House of Representatives and put it over there on Harry Reid's desk. But if that doesn't go anywhere, it's very difficult to get anything done. Elections do matter. And there are elections that are going to occur this November. If we're able to get the Senate and we're able to have some reasonable person in leadership that will at least bring these situations and issues to the forefront, allow a vote on them, and put them on the president's desk, he can't veto everything. This election is so, so important for us to be able to get some kind of control back and to be able to actually control our nation through the Congress rather than just through a pen and a phone.
I totally agree with you. I agree totally.
But, you know, that doesn't mean that you don't every day get up and just continue to fight the battle, and I'm honored to do that. I will say that when I say my prayers at night, I ask for the Lord to give me strength for the next day, because I can't always say I'm in the cheeriest mood after about 14 hours of fighting. But the next morning I do get up and feel enlivened and ready to go again, and I know that I've got the strength to do it because I know that the Lord has me where he wants me right now. And we'll keep doing that until the passion wanes and then someone else that's younger can take over. But right now, I've got a lot of fight left in me.
Well, that's great to hear. We appreciate everything that you do to represent us. And God bless you. We wish you total success, young lady.
Well, you are so welcome. And God bless everybody up there in Clay County and the extended listening area. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, Ray, once a month.
This concludes our recorded interview with Ray Norris and our representative for this month. Of course, we're running a week or so late. I think she was tied up last week and couldn't do the interview then, so we got it in this week. We hope that everyone appreciates the information that they have provided, and we will be ready to start our live portion of the show just in a few minutes, but first we're going to take a short commercial break, and then we'll be back with some local information and some live interviews. So I'll be right here, and like I said, we just need to throw in a commercial here, and we'll be ready to get cranked up for today.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Closure. We're trying to help everyone get through this vast home improvement warehouse. We're currently in the plumbing department, but there seems to be a cart with a pallet of 2x4s turned sideways in the aisle. No one can get through. And don't even try the paint counter. They're going to be bottlenecked there for the next hour at least. You may want to avoid that area and try an alternate route. Are you tired of the long lines at the big box home improvement centers? Come visit the folks at Salina Lumber for all your home improvement needs right here at home. Remember the personal attention you used to get at the old corner store? Well, that same experience still exists at Salina Lumber Company, your local PPG Porter paint dealer, where you'll find the perfect paint, expertise, product knowledge, and personal service to help you complete any paint job inside and out. Every job deserves PPG Porter paint, a trusted brand for 90 years. Catch the PPG Porter paint experience at Salina Lumber Company, where we're so much more than lumber.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need for 36 years, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday at 8:30 until 4:30 and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
Okay, this is the live portion of the Clay County Corner coming to you here on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country on our own radio station right here in Salina, Tennessee. And we're right now, our studio is located in one of the corner rooms of the historic Clay County Courthouse. And I have my first guest here with me this morning, and she wears a couple of hats also. And she's going to talk a little bit about the fair that just closed. I think we're going to do an in-depth on that next week with the president of the fair board, Dean Walden. But right now, Dorothy, it's your chance to talk a few minutes. So go ahead and move a little closer to the microphone if you want to, where we can hear you good. And good morning.
Good morning. I'm here with the fair board, and I'm also a third district county commissioner, and I'm a member of the fair board and park board. Help with the fair every year. We brought it back for the past 13 years. We didn't have a fair for many years, so we're working hard to keep it going.
Well, Dorothy, you probably can't remember the old fairs out at Miles, can you?
I can.
Okay.
I sure
okay.
can.
Okay, we're not that far apart.
Not that far apart.
Yes, that used to be a tremendous thing. I know we would, when I was in elementary school and high school, school would turn out, the students would all go out there, and we'd have athletic contests, volleyball games, races.
I remember that.
All of those good things that county fairs were in those days.
I sure do. I remember that. Softball throw, all the good things that we used to do.
Sorry to interrupt you, but go ahead.
And I'm chairman of the beauty pageant, the fair beauty pageant. So we had a lot of contestants. We had 43 contestants in that. We cranked the fair up with a pageant every year. So we usually have that on Saturday before the fair, which is always in June. Our fair is always in June. We had 43 contestants. We had a lot of winners. We had like 10 categories. Our Miss Fairies for the Fair was Miss Jacqueline West, and Princess, 11 to 12 year old, was Cheyenne Roska. We had a Miss Princess, and she was Haley Kirk. We had a teen Miss, which was Morgan Stewart. We had a tiny angel, 0 to 7 months, was Paisley Emerton. Tiny angel was Paige Scott. Miss Angel was Haley Early Walker. Little Miss was Willow Wright. Was Lila Grace Marcy, and our little Miss Princess was Kendall Hamilton.
So we had a group of very, very good-looking young ladies, huh?
Very pretty girls, and we had some good judges, all from Robertson County, Laurie Morris Murphy, Sarah Justice, and Celeste Armstrong. We want to thank them also.
We'll probably need to get some of those winners on here one day to talk to them a little bit about what they, especially the older categories. Jacqueline, I know that she will participate in the statewide Fairs to the Fair contest in Nashville later on this year.
In January. January of next year. They have it in January every year.
And
so we'll be going down there for that and for the fair exhibits and everything that's going on with the fair. We'll take our exhibits and the winners and go down there.
Okay, and I know, I think when we first started back with the fair, we kicked the dates around a little bit, and I think it's great that now we have settled on a date that everyone can expect the Clay County Fair every year. And, just from observations, looked like, I know we had the James Gang Carnival group that came in there, and looked like a bunch of good equipment. Looked like everything well maintained, and looked like a very, very safe Midway exhibit there this year.
We do have a good James good exhibit, and James Gangs is very good. They're family oriented, and they're here every year, and they're going to be here this year or this coming next year in June. But it might be 1 week early, might be 1 week late, but it's always in June.
Well, like I said, it's great to have that. I know that when you do something like this, you are at the mercy of people like the James Gang, plus other things that they can't guarantee you they can come back the next year at exactly the same date, but they'll leave you like a 2 or 3 week leeway in there where you can work with. And I guess they let you know early enough, make sure you get your advertising and stuff out.
Yes, they do, and we have a 3-year contract, so we know it's going to be them for the next 3 years anyway.
I mean, that's great, and when you get a reputable organization, it's great when you can tie them down for a few years.
Yes, we want to keep them as long as we can.
Okay, the fair itself, like I said, I think it's growing. The Saturday night, I know it lasted a long time Saturday night.
Yes, about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well worth it. And I know we had the pulling over there, and I think they had a little trouble with the pulling sled and maybe broke a piece on it and had to bring a welder in. But I think maybe, I know it didn't slow anything down, but
no.
They went a long time also there.
There was a few problems. Of course, the rain hurt us on Tuesday night.
Yes.
But our attendance was down a little bit, But our carnival, as far as our rides and stuff, was good, really good. Even a little bit better than last year.
So that the nights that were open were better than
yes.
what they were last year.
Yes.
But, of course, any time you lose an entire night, that is a little bit of a setback.
Yes.
It would have been a tremendous fair had we not lost that Tuesday night due to the
absolutely.
Rain.
Absolutely, it would have. Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break here, and I guess Dorothy, she may need to run out of the room and change her hats when she comes back. We may talk a little bit about county commission work when she comes back, maybe the committees and things that she's on down there and what's going on down there. And she may have some other things here that, you know, sometimes I cut people off with a commercial break and they don't get hardly finished, but we'll be back just in a minute.
I just want to thank all the sponsors and volunteers that we had. We couldn't have a fair without them.
Okay.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Okay, we're back here at the courthouse. It's a little bit warm here in Salina this morning. I came in early this morning, turned the air conditioner on for a few minutes, but I have to turn it off, the engineer says. It makes too much racket. We can't talk over the air conditioner, so if we get sweating too bad, we may have to take a break and turn it back on and cool off a little bit. But before we get back to Dorothy, I've got a couple little public service things here. I know last week Howard Hilton was here, and he mentioned the Friends of Dale Hollow Fish Hatchery Wilderness Camp. This is a day of fire up at the fish hatchery, and they've got a number of educational and demonstration stations set up there. A number of different people there doing exhibitions and things like that. And it's July the 10th, and it's from 8:30 to 4:30. And you have until July the 1st to sign up for this. And the number to call is 931-243-2443. And they can give you all the information, what you need to do, how to get signed up, and how you can be able to participate in this. And right now, Dorothy, if you will, I've got one other thing here. I know that last week at a meeting here with Representative Kelly Keeling, he made the official announcement about our grant for the courthouse here that we have, I believe it's about $7,200 coming in grant money, and then I think there's a $2,800 matching grant, matching to the grant from local funds here from the county, from the Chamber of Commerce, and also the courthouse fund with proceeds from our ticket sales for our Christmas program. We made a little bit of money on that, so we're also contributing money to that. So that's where all this money's coming from. And the first thing we're going to do here is to clean up start the process of cleaning up the electrical circuits here in the building, replacing some old switch boxes, and just basically starting to clean up the courthouse here and make it safer. I know we probably have some wiring in here that may have been in here 50 or 60 years that needs cleaning up and make this place a little bit safer. So we're extremely proud to have this grant, and I know Mayor Reagan is, of course, tickled to death with this because he wants to get us some plug-ins outside the courthouse here where we don't have to have people running in and out of the courthouse during our homecoming days and the chili cook-off, moonshine days, that type of thing. He, of course, concerned with the safety of running long cords and people tripping over cords and all kinds of things like that. So this is going to be a beginning of a great improvement here for the courthouse. But right now, that's Dorothy. Let's talk about your other job a little bit as a commissioner here in Clay County. Give us a history. How long have you been on the commission? And
be 19 years this year. Been on from there. I lost my husband, and he was county commissioner, and I got appointed to that position, and I've been on it ever since.
Okay, and you've seen quite a few county executives, county mayors go in those 19 years.
I sure have. I have, and enjoyed all of them, worked with all of them well. And
have what about committees? Are you on, and I know there are a number of committees. I don't know whether you can name all the committees down there or not.
There's a number of them, and I'm on the Fair Board, Park Board, Agriculture Board, the budget. Of course, we're all on the budget committee, and that's coming up. That's a big deal this year. We're suffering over that, you know. We're really working hard on that, on the budget.
Okay, what is the biggest problem right now with the budget?
Well, you know, we're looking at a new jail.
Yes.
And that's going to be our biggest problem this year, I think. And, of course, the Obamacare, you know, that's coming up. So we've got a lot of issues coming up this year.
What about debt now? Do we have very much debt here in the county now?
We don't. We have a good debt service right now, so we can, you know.
And we're going to get some good rates on the jail. And, you know, I know any time you build something like a jail, it is controversial. There's always a group that says, you know, we don't need that. You know, to be kind of blunt, you know, we don't need to be coddling our prisoners. They need to have it kind of rough. But now, of course, federal laws, now state laws, all these things go into preparation for it. When somewhere along the line, you have to do something.
Yeah, if we don't do it, they will, and they'll force us to do it. And that way, you know, they can build what they want to build, and we'll have to pay for it.
And that's not good.
Not good.
Okay. I know over the years, you know, I'll let you think just a second here. What maybe do you think maybe is the greatest, I guess, the greatest event that you've been a part of with the county commission in those 19 years?
Greatest event? Well, to me, bringing the fair back to Clay County is one of the biggest events that we've done, you know, since I've been there.
And, you know, we have a great fairground facility over there,
yes.
Good parking. It's pretty easy to get in and out of. What about the attraction from other counties?
We have a lot of that going on. You know, the motorcycle ATV thing comes from in Kentucky. We have a lot of people that participate from Cookeville, all the areas close around. We do.
Okay, and I know... like I said, the June is, were we one of the first, from the first county fairs?
We were one of the first in the Upper Cumberland. And now I think Birdstown and Baxter's, the James Gang is doing them,
they've kind of decided may be a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, another thing with the fair, I know that we have all the exhibits there in the women's building, 4-H exhibits, adult exhibits of everything from quilts to flowers.
Yes.
Does the fair receive funding now from the University of Tennessee like they did years ago?
They do receive some, and we always get a merit award down there in January. We get back money, you know, with our awards and things that they get.
Okay, so, you know, getting exhibits in is a big deal, isn't it?
A big deal, yes. And we had more this year than we normally do, so everybody's contributing.
Okay, let me add something about that. You know, being that early, you know, there are a lot of, you go to the county fairs and some of the other counties in the fall, and they have, you know, the burley tobacco, those kinds of the crops that have been harvested. Has there ever been any thought maybe, you know, to asking a farmer to hold back a piece of his crop from the year before?
But that's a good idea.
We don't
have a lot of vegetables or anything, you know, because it is early, and
you know,
a lot of people don't have that yet.
There are some crops, you know, like best corn, corn, the best tobacco, those type of things. You know, that might be something to look at and, you know, try to search and find some categories where the produce could be held over for a year and brought in. Because, you know, anything we can do to get more exhibits in there.
Absolutely. And Miss Dean Walden is over that, and she will be here next week. So that would be a good input for her.
Okay, now, we talked about maybe what may have been your high point. Now, let's go to the other end. Has there ever been, you know, where you've really, really, truly been disappointed in something that happened in the county that maybe not necessarily the county commission had anything that caused it or didn't cause it or whatever, but you know, something that stands out in your mind that needed maybe a different kind of attention or something like that? I know that's putting you on the spot a little bit.
I don't know. There's been a lot of things, you know, that's happened since I've been in there, but I can't really think of any really, really bad thing that we haven't really worked out, you know.
You know, that's something I think our county commission has been pretty good at over the years. You know, sometimes they fall out and have little sectional arguments of this and that, but it seems like when it comes right down to where the rubber meets the road, that they come together, they work with the county executive, and you know, we do make things happen here. I know, you know, we'd love to have a factory move back in here one of these days and hire about 400 people, but you know, we all know that's not going to be practical in our small counties. I know we try to give people breaks. We, you know, property tax breaks or whatever to get them to come in. But, you know, a break in Clay County is not the same as a property tax break down in Columbia, Tennessee, or Davidson County. So, you know, it is hard for a small county to compete for any major job-producing facilities anymore.
Yes, it seems like when it's cut, we get the cuts. You know, we don't get the state-mandated things and grants and things that we've been doing well with that lately, but, you know, for a while there, we didn't seem to get grants and things like we should.
You know, that's, of course, and like we said before, so many of those grants, I mean, you know, there's a lot of 50-50 grants out there, but, you know, we say, well, you know, we've got a $400,000 project here, and we get a 50-50 grant. $200,000 is a whole lot of money, but also it's a whole lot of money to have to come up with on a budget like we have.
Yes.
Without raising taxes.
Taxes.
Of course, I mean, that's one of the major priorities I know that all of you commissioners have is the tax rate each year. And, of course, that's the first thing that our local residents, raise my taxes. But, you know, but also on the other hand, you know, if we want something, we're going to have to pay for it somewhere along the line. And, you know, I think, too, our voice in the state government, our voice in the national government, as small as we are, you know, we've got to come up with some way, you know, where we can pinch the tiger's tail and get him to notice.
Get to him, yes.
Because, you know, we are important here. We're small in numbers. You know, we don't have a lot of economy here in the county anymore, but we do have Valhalla Lake. We do have the tourists coming in. And we do need help. With from the state level, national level, whatever, to let people know that we're here, and you know, just anything we can do to get to bring attention, to positive attention to Clay County.
Yes, amen.
And I know that the thing that you have worked on for a number of years here, and we are, you know, we congratulate you for the service. We thank you for the service that you've given the county. But Dorothy, I'm going to take a little short break, and we got to pay for this thing. And I also want to remind people that, you know, if you're listening to this and you hear one of our local sponsors, you know, with an ad on here, go out by and, as your grandma used to say, go out there and trade with them and, see if, you know, let them know. Let them know that you heard about them here on WVFB-FM. And we, you know, of course, we continually need new advertisers, and we, you know, for the people, you know, if you are a business owner and you're listening to this, guess what? A lot of your customers are too, and they need to know about you when you decide to run some type of special. You know, behind the lad here on the radio station and let everyone know. But right now, let's do one of those ads and help pay for this thing, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Hello, this is Paula Boone with Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center. We are excited to announce two new services available to our community. We are now offering adult daycare and outpatient therapies. Our adult daycare program is designed to provide improvements in the health of adults who may just need a safe place to be during the day. Nutritious meals, snacks, activities, and a full-service beauty shop are just a few of the services available. Outpatient physical, occupational, and speech therapies are now offered to our community as well. Most major insurance plans are accepted. For more information, give us a call today at 931-243-3139. We will be glad to assist you. Again, that is 931-243-3139, Solana Health and Rehabilitation Center in Solana, Tennessee.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, live here at the Clay County Courthouse. I have Dorothy Forney here with me this morning. We've talked about politics a little bit. We've talked about the county fair a little bit. And got another thing I want to talk to her for a few minutes about. Dorothy's also a grandmother, believe it or not. And we just finished our first year back here in Solana over at the recreation center of a baseball league. For the past few years, we didn't have enough participation here to where we could field enough teams to have a quality league here. But through the work, I know Dorothy's helped work on this probably more in the background than in the foreground. Now, I know a few weeks ago we had Matt Adams on here who talked about it before the beginning. And they have just, week before last, I'm not sure which one. I lose time, track of time during the summer. But we completed our first league play here. And you can talk about that as a grandmother, or you can talk about it. Tell us about that a little bit. How you think?
First of all, I want to thank all the parents, grandparents, and everybody that participated in it. Matt Adams was a big help to us. He got this all started back. Lee Bowles, all the parents pitched in and helped out with the fields and everything else. I mean, they done really good jobs, and they are still playing ball. But now they're on the all-star. They picked the all-star teams on the baseball, and they're going to Livingston, McMinnville, wherever they have to go to play on these all-star teams. So I know one team plays tonight in Livingston on the all-stars.
You know which age group it is tonight?
It's 7 and 8 year old. They play tonight, and then tomorrow night the 9 and 10 year old, and then also the 12 and under plays on Friday night in McMinnville. So there's still going, and thanks to all these people that helped get these boys started back, and girls too. We also had a fast pitch softball.
Now, I know we haven't said a whole lot about that this summer. How many teams did we have in that?
We had 3 in that, and then the little ones, of course, they pitched off the machine, which, you know, they will be coming up too. So hopefully we'll have more teams next year.
And I've noticed that we have a tremendous crop of young athletes from the ones that from the third grade. All the way up through, I guess part of them were as high as, maybe sixth graders this year?
Yes.
And one of the things I noticed that we had a lot of third graders playing with the sixth graders and competing and playing lot of nights just as well as they did. And that is very, very encouraging for our baseball and softball.
Yes, they all play together. And even the kindergartners, we had kindergarten kids playing with the second graders and third graders. We did.
And also I've noticed the camaraderie among the coaches and the players. You know, I know it's a tremendous competition when you divide into groups. And, of course, everyone wants to win. But, you know, if you notice at the baseball games down here, you'd look up and you would see the coaches from opposite teams with hands across each other's shoulders laughing and talking and encouraging each other. And, you know, that's the type of thing that makes it grow because, you know, something the participants need to realize, of course, the coaches, the parents is, you know, that they're all playing for one thing, and that is somewhere along the line, you know, there's going to be an all-star team that becomes a junior high softball team and junior high baseball team and then moves on up to the high school, and they play together. And that is, and of course, the all-star team brings we can't say the best players, but the ones that are better at their positions or whatever, because, you know, sometimes cruel reality sets in, and you do have, if you're going to go out and participate, you do need to try to take the best that your county has to offer. And I think that's what our all-star teams do for us.
Yes, and I think we've got some good all-star people going to play. You know, they are all, and all the coaches, you know, they all just help each other and go with each other and help them out any way they can.
You know, I noticed too, I think I noticed the story last week in the Herald Citizen newspaper, Putnam County in Cookeville has always had a tremendous, tremendous baseball program over there. But their program is down over there too. They, you know, for the first time, I think, in the history of their program, they've allowed maybe teams from down in Jackson County and some of the other surrounding counties to come over and participate with them there in Cookeville. And, of course, we all know the reason for that, a whole lot of it is the kids would rather play baseball with their thumbs sometimes than with the rest of their body. And that's something that, you know, if we're going to have a healthy generation, need to get out like all these kids and find something to do. You know, there's all kinds of sports. Everything now from soccer to the baseball, the basketball, all those things that require different levels of physical ability, physical stamina. And, you know, parents, get your youngins out there and get them on the field doing something. And how many grandchildren do you have playing in this thing?
I have eight playing in this league. Of course, we have two that lives up in Indiana, so they're not playing here, but they're playing up there. So we've got all sports people,
So you've actually got enough for a good baseball team.
We could have a baseball team.
With one substitute. Well, Dorothy, it has been a pleasure having you here with us this morning, and I'd like to invite you back anytime that you can. And I hope you have felt relaxed and enjoyed your time here with us this morning.
I have. Thank you very much, Thomas, and I've enjoyed it.
All right, and we'll be, I guess we'll have some more live programming here just in a minute, but right now we'll put us in another commercial here, and I think John may be coming in and sit with us a few minutes, and we're going to talk a little bit more about our birthday and anniversary club and some other things. So we'll be here at the county courthouse in just a second again.
The Upper Cumberland General Store is what a country store used to be like and what a country store should be. Local handcrafted items, antiques, Disney items, American moonshine items, household goods, live survival foods, snacks, discount groceries, and a whole lot more. Shop Upper Cumberland General Store and save. Up to 90% off regular retail prices. You need to see it to believe it. Visit Upper Cumberland General Store, open 9 till 5, Tuesday through Saturday, at 101 Doctors Drive in Salina, Tennessee. Or you can call them at 931-243-3350. That's 931-243-3350 for Upper Cumberland General Store. Here to serve you right behind the DQ.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Closure. We're trying to help everyone get through this vast home improvement warehouse. We're currently in the plumbing department, but there seems to be a cart with a pallet of 2x4s turned sideways in the aisle. No one can get through. And don't even try the paint counter. They're going to be bottlenecked there for the next hour at least. You may want to avoid that area and try an alternate route. Are you tired of the long lines at the big box home improvement centers? Come visit the folks at Salina Lumber for all your home improvement needs right here at home. Remember the personal attention you used to get at the old corner store? Well, that same experience still exists at Salina Lumber Company, your local PPG Porter paint dealer, where you'll find the perfect paint, expertise, product knowledge, and personal service to help you complete any paint job inside and out. Every job deserves PPG Porter paint, a trusted brand for 90 years. Catch the PPG Porter paint experience at Salina Lumber Company, where we're so much more than lumber.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm sitting here now. I've got the boss man sitting here with me this morning for a few minutes. And just in a second, we're going to talk about the birthday and anniversary club and a few of maybe some other things. But I'd like to, just for a second, talk about my day yesterday. I had the pleasure yesterday of getting up nice and early, about 5 o'clock in the morning, taking my shower and going down to Highway 52 and meeting Mr. Roy Hanson from out in the Pine Hill community. Roy, he manufactures, puts together, does talks, works in schools with educational programs on traditional Appalachian toys. And he volunteers every Wednesday. He drives from Salina up to Cades Cove in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, sets up a group of tables, gets out all these old toys, and does demonstrations. And people come by there from all over the United States. We've had people from Japan, the Netherlands, Great Britain. I usually try to go with him a couple of times a year, and yesterday was my my day to get to go with him, and started out a great day. We were a few minutes late, and when we got to the park, we were even later because they had a bear sighting driving around Cage Cove. I got a few pictures of him. A male bear was out in the field digging for grub worms. He wasn't looking for any meat, I don't think. I actually got too close to him, and when I got back, I got thinking, you know, he could have took a nip out of me if he'd have wanted to come after me. But Roy does a show there with old traditional toys, everything from string toys, puzzles. He has, I know we all played with pop guns when we were little fellas. We put the crab apples in a cane and put a stick in it and shoot our brothers or our cousins or something. Now he does a demonstration on that, and of course, everyone likes to square off. We have some husbands and wives that back line up back to back, and we count them off, and they have a duel. So far, we haven't had too many hit, but it was everything, like I said, from string games. We had a lady, Miss Lucy Davis, that actually came in. I'm sure a lot of us remember when Grandma used to give us the great big old button, and we put a string through it, and hook our thumbs to it, and we could make that button go all day long. You know, it's truly amazing when you see the youngsters. The first time they see something like this, that you know, that doesn't have thumb controls on it,
right.
And it's amazing to watch the looks in their eyes when you show them things that you can do with nearly nothing. And I have it's always a pleasure for me to go take part in that and be a part of that. But I just wanted to throw that out there.
That's funny you should actually mention that. I was in Scottsville, Kentucky, I believe Tuesday. A guy had a secondhand shop there, and he had some little wooden toys there. And I told him, we were just talking about that. I said, my dad used to make these little boats with paddles, and you would either pull them with a string or put a rubber band on them or something, and he'd whittle them out and everything, and he'd float them down the creek, and they'd paddle themselves. And, yeah, I mean, those are some cool toys.
And, you know, Alex said, I do the little thing. I think about the only trick I can do. I can take my circle string and make a Jacob's ladder, which is a pretty complicated thing. It's something that muscle memory, I guess. I think my grandma taught me when I was about 8 years old how to do that. And, of course, someone come by and said, well, can you show me, can you tell me how to do that? And I said,
no.
I have no idea how I do it. I said, my fingers know, but my mouth doesn't know how I do that.
That's right.
This type of thing is fun, And I said, Roy also does some things around some of the local schools here, and he had some toys set up during the courthouse last Christmas. So, if you ever get a chance, go out and watch him in action. He's fun.
Have him on sometime. We'll talk about how he got hooked up with that, you know, if he learned it from his grandparents or what.
He did that, yes, and I know coming back after a Wednesday up there all day, sometimes he doesn't feel good on Thursday mornings. Actually, I think Roy's a year older than me, so he's an elderly gentleman now, I think.
Well, we could have him on toward the end of the show.
Yeah, I mean, yes, that is something that I've spoken to Roy about, and he loves to talk.
Does he? Okay,
yes, he does.
That's the kind of guy we want.
Okay, now we better get into this before we run out of time.
Yeah, we are. We're running close. Well, anyhow, we started last week the birthday and anniversary announcements for Clay County. And what we've done is we've set up a machine here in the courthouse for people to call and wish one of their friends or loved one a happy birthday or anniversary. And the number to call is 243-5574. And what you do is you leave the person's birthday or anniversary date and who the person is, and we'd like you to leave your name and phone number just in case something happens and we don't understand you well, and we'll call you back if we need to. And get the right information.
And this is not just children. Someone thought, you know, hey, this is just for kids. No. It's for all you older kids, too.
Oh, shoot.
And we promise we won't necessarily tell your age.
Yeah,
we'll try to keep that secret.
I always feel kind of skittish about that because some people say, oh, yeah, say they were 73. And I'm thinking, they might not want to know, you know, people to know. But it is sponsored by Dairy Queen right here in Salina. Dairy Queen's been here for years, and Dairy Queen, you know, you think of ice cream and shakes and stuff like that, and you automatically think of Dairy Queen. You, I don't even think you have to think about it. Every time I see you, you've got a Dairy Queen cup in your hand. I don't know if it's coffee or what it is you're drinking, but, you know, they have breakfast anytime. They've got the bacon and egg and cheese biscuits. If you've got a bigger appetite, they've got the country platter with two biscuits and gravy, hash browns, and your choice of meat and eggs fried or scrambled, any way you like them. You can get that there. lunch, they've got that too. They've got a huge selection of chicken strips, fish and shrimp, burgers, sandwiches, even hot dogs. Get it in a combo form, where you get the fries and the Cokes and stuff like that.
They have a special on that, a $5 special on every day, a $5 lunch special, where you get your hamburger or your three-piece chicken and French fries, a Coke, and an ice cream treat. Did Frank mention that while you were out there?
No, I talked to Brittany out there.
Okay, now that's a tremendous deal. And, of course, if you're old like John and I, you get another 10% discount on top of that.
Right.
And they also have a thing called a rewards card. That's really another 10% discount.
When
you spend $50, your next $5 meal is paid for. Us old folks are looking at a 20% discount.
So, on a hot day like this, they've got their salads, a nice, cool, crisp salad, and they've got a variety of those. Excuse me, garden greens. They've got chicken salad, BLT, the Asian peanut salad. They've got just about anything you want there. And what are they doing down there? They're doing a facelift of some kind down there.
Yeah, I think they...
dressing up the outside?
Yeah, corporate has said that, they have... ever so often they have to do some changes on
right.
it. And they've changed the outlook of it a little bit. And I think they're going to do this dry stack stone or make like a chimney type thing there. And
got
some lights around it.
Yeah, they've got the inside nice and clean there. Pictures up all over the place. So, anyhow... Dairy Queen is sponsoring that, and what we do is we take the birthday and anniversary names that have been called in, and we read off the names, and we draw for one person to win an ice cream cake, courtesy of Dairy Queen here, and 101.5.
This is something that, we've got to get the people calling in, folks.
It takes a while when you first... something new, but I'd like people to actually write this number down. It's 243. And if you've got someone that has a birthday or anniversary coming up, call and leave the message, and we'll be happy to get it on. As a matter of fact, you've got some.
Okay, we have four birthdays that have taken place within the last week since our last radio show, which is the way we do this. We do it a week at a time here on the Clay County Corner. On June the 12th, Zane Roberts celebrated a birthday. On June the 14th, Donna Brown Gore celebrated a birthday. And then on June the 18th, there was a dual one that day, a grandfather-granddaughter combination.
Wow.
Taylor Strong and Jerry W. Fox celebrated their birthdays on June the 18th. And... Mr. Jerry W. Fox was the winner of this week's ice cream cake at the Dairy Queen. And we will make sure that he gets the certificate and he can go out and buy and pick his... And we hope he will share it with his granddaughter. And I've got a couple of belated birthdays here that didn't make it in earlier. We have Brittany Boone and Joyce McLaren Holman, who have celebrated birthdays within the last few weeks. And we will, we'll do a belated birthday, but of course we can't include the belated folks in our drawings, but... we are looking forward to getting some more names in here. And, folks, this June is June Bride Month.
Just what I was
June Bride Month. So if you know of anyone that, I guess we might do that for the whole month. What do you think?
Well, we could do that.
Anyone that got married in the month of June and you know of your friends, your neighbors or whoever, give us their names. And we'll put all the June brides in here and we'll put them in the drawing one week and we'll give them a big ice cream cake.
That's right. And, people get a kick. Little kids, average age folks, older folks, it doesn't matter. They, people enjoy hearing their names on the radio. And little kids really get a kick out of it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. They
really get a kick out of it.
Well, I think probably if we don't wind up here in a minute, we may run out of our time.
I'm done.
And... I want to remind everyone to be back with us again next week here on WBFB-FM 101.5 Kick Country, our radio station here in Salina. Now, don't forget that. Advertisers, listeners, this is our radio station. Come join us next time, and may the good Lord bless and keep you.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kick Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.